All right. Are you ready for some bedtime stories? I've got a good one written by a friend of mine, and we're going to hear it in a little bit. And it's quite wonderful. You ready for a song?
You're darn right I am.
Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my... Around the room, my sister took my jammies and flushed them down the toilet. Why did she have to do that thing? Why did she have to spoil it? Where's my pajamas? He's crazy. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my... Around the room, my brother took my jammies and left them at the beach. The tide came in and they went out, and now they're out of reach. Oh no! Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my... Around the room, our daddy's name is Johnny, our mama's name is Trudy. We don't think they wear pajamas, they sleep naked nudie. What? They sleep naked nudie. Oh no. Yes. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? We hollered round the room. Where's my pajamas? Where's my pajamas? Where's my... Around the room. Bow. There you go. Singing is a lot of fun. Making up your own words to songs is a lot of fun. You probably do it too. Okay. Got a story here called One Amazing Mouse. And, one of the guys who works here at the studio at KMUN Astoria, his name is J.D. Wells. And he wrote a story, and he's been mentioning it to me on and off for about a year. Hey, I wrote the story. I said, okay, well, give it to me, let me read it. Then he'd say, hey, are you going to read that story? I said, if you give it to me, he said, oh, just give it to me, I'll read it. Right. So just the other day, he gave it to me, and I started reading it. And he said, well... Do you think you'll read it on the air? I said, if it's good enough, I will. And if it's lousy and it's terrible, and I won't. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So I read it and I thought, wow, this is good. So I called him here at the station to tell him that I'm going to read it. And he's not here. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's down there with his friends. And they're all sitting around a radio or a computer right now. And they're going to hear his story. And so... This is by J.D. Wells. It's called One Amazing Mouse. And it's written from the point of view of an old man, so I had to try and figure out what kind of voice I was going to use. And then I had an idea. I had a certain template of a certain famous voice, and I was going to use that. And here it is. One Amazing Mouse. I'm old. I don't have any grandchildren. But I'm old enough to be somebody's grandpa. I mention this because I know young people don't like to take naps. Old people like naps. If you have a grandpa, you may well already know that grandpas love naps. My favorite place to take a nap is on a nice soft rug in front of my big sunny glass door. I lie with my head next to our piano. I let the sun shining through the glass door warm my old bones. Eventually I fall into a deep, wondrous slumber. I sleep like this until my body is finished relaxing. Then I wake up, rub my eyes, and go on about the business of being an old man. That is to say, normally I'd sleep until I'm done sleeping. One day, however, I was awakened by a strange squeaking sound. At first, I thought the sound was part of the dream. As I became more awake, I heard the sound again, and then I heard it again. I realized the sound was coming from behind the piano, very near where the top of my head was lying. It was an odd sound that I couldn't identify. The sound came again, seemingly more incessantly than before. I finally was motivated to sit up and try to discover the source of this odd squeaking. I turned to look toward where the noise was coming from. I was startled to see a mouse standing up on his hind legs. He looked me right in the eye as if addressing me. It seemed to me he was trying to tell me that my big fat head had been in his way and he could not get out from behind the piano. He eyed me in this manner for a moment, then scampered to the front of the piano. From there he quickly climbed up the leg of the piano bench and onto a pile of music books we had left on the bench. He looked at me. He looked at the piano. He looked at me again, and then the piano again. Finally, he looked me right in the eye, let out an incessant squeak, and bumped his nose against the wood covering protecting the piano keys. I began to believe this little mouse was trying to tell me something. I slowly reached out and lifted the wooden cover. The keys of the piano were now revealed. The mouse stopped paying attention to me. He was moving back and forth on the pile of music books with his paws on the edge of the front of the keys. He sniffed and inspected each key so that he could reach from the pile of books. At last he pressed on a key with his nose. The piano sounded a beautiful ringing G note. The mouse jumped back a little surprised. He then approached the key again and pressed it with his nose. This time he simply cocked his head with one ear close to the piano. When the G note finished sounding, he moved his way along the keyboard and pressed another key with his nose. Middle C rang out. The mouse rushed back to the G note and pressed it again. Then back to the middle C. Back and forth, faster and faster, until he could make both rings sound and ring in harmony. Finally, he sat back on his haunches and emitted the most gleeful squeak I believe a mouse has ever produced. He glanced once at me and squeaked quietly. He then ran down the leg of the bench and disappeared neatly behind the piano. That evening over tea, I tried to explain to my wife about the mouse. "I believe he wants to play the piano," I told my wife.
"Yes, I suppose he graduated from Berkeley, and now he needs a practice studio," replied my wife.
There are two things that I need to tell you now. One is that Berkeley is a school where people go to learn about music. The second thing is not so simple. You young folks in your wide-eyed innocence with less knowledge of the many things that are in the world may not know, well, you may not have realized that at this point my wife was gently poking fun of me. Old people know more about this thing called sarcasm, which people sometimes use to make fun of one another. But young people are more likely to know than a mouse can learn to play the piano if he wants to. So, if it's all right with you, we'll just keep this thing about the mouse between us. Good. Then, let us continue with the story of this clever little mouse. The sun shone all that week. I continued to take my naps on the soft rug in the front of the glass door. I did not see the clever mouse for 3 days, so I thought that maybe he had decided to move out. Then on the fourth day, I began taking my nap in the warm sun, and what do you know? I heard a familiar squeaking before I'd even finished stretching out from my pleasant slumber. I sat up only in time to see the little mouse reach the front of the piano and scramble nimbly up the leg of the bench. He climbed to the top of the pile of music books. He looked at me. I did not need any prompting this time. I moved the wooden cover to reveal the piano keys. The mouse quickly began exploring the piano keys. He again located G and middle C and began trying other keys. I watched in wonder as he went about his business. He seemed to forget I was even there. He appeared to be searching for a pleasing sequence of notes. He began playing the C, then quickly the G. Then he followed the F quickly with the C. Then he played the G, followed by the D. He played this sequence several times and seemed to like it very much. I decided right there that I should name this clever mouse Mozart. So I did. Mozart explored several different notes. Soon he came up with a sequence of notes that seemed to please him very much. I won't trouble you with the particular sequence of notes Mozart played. I will tell you, however, that it was quite a bit more musical than I ever expected from a mouse. He played the sequence several times and then sat back on his haunches and squealed with delight. Mozart glanced my way and squeaked quietly. He then scampered down the bench leg and returned to his home behind the piano. I sat quietly considering the amazing thing I had just witnessed. My first thought was to share this amazing thing with my friend Irene. Oh, yes, Irene. That's my wife's name. Then I thought again. I'd seen Mozart twice now, so I knew he's real. I'm not just a crazy old man, but, well, some old people just don't seem to like things that are too amazing. So I didn't tell anyone about the mouse. Mozart interrupted my nap again the very next day. He didn't squeak at me this time. He just squeezed between the top of my head and the end of the piano. He brushed against the top of my head. It tickled it a little, so I sat up to see what had touched my head. Before I could even sit up all the way, Mozart was on the piano bench. He did not get up on the pile of books, though. He sat at the edge of the pile, looking at me. He looked me in the eye. Then he turned to the pile of books and attempted to nose open the cover of the top book. He looked at me. He squeaked. He nosed the book cover again. He looked at me. Then he did the whole thing again. Before I even realized what I was doing, I found myself speaking out loud to a mouse. "Okay, Mozart," I said. "I'm old, but I'm not too slow." I took the top book off the pile. I opened it to the first page and placed it on the piano music's holder. The name of the book happened to be Piano Method for Beginners. The first song was a simple version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. "Is that what you want, my little friend?" I asked him. He squeaked at me in a tone, and I took to indicate approval. He then gave me that look again. He touched his nose to a note on the page of the book. He studied the keyboard, moving his head to one side and the other, as if studying the layout of the piano keys. Then he looked at me again. He looked at me right in the eyes. I didn't do anything because I didn't know what he wanted. He repeated the whole thing again. He looked at me, touched his nose to a note on the page, and studied the piano keyboard again. Then Mozart sat and stared at me as if waiting. I made a guess about what he wanted me to do. I touched the first note on the page, which happened to be a C note. Then I played the C on the piano. I pointed to the next note on the paper, which happened to be a G. Then I played the G note on the piano. Now it was Mozart's turn to be amazed. He sat very still. He seemed to be lost in thought. I'm not sure a mouse can be lost in thought, but if they can, then Mozart was surely doing this at this moment. Suddenly he leaped up and touched the third note in the book with his nose. Then he looked at me. I played the note on the piano, which happened to be an A. Mozart squealed with delight and touched the fourth note, which happened to be a G note again. I played that on the piano. We did this until we had reached the end of the first line of the music. Mozart then began playing them notes on the piano as he looked at the notes on the pages. Soon he was playing the notes perfectly. He was playing the notes of the song that go to the words, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." I'm sure many of you know this tune very well. I wonder if you like it as much as Mozart did. He played it over and over, stopping only now and then to squeal with happiness. He played it until I thought I would go crazy, hearing the same musical phrase time after time. Old people are like that sometimes. We don't especially care to hear the same thing repeated too many times. Well, after a while, even Mozart seemed to tire of this tune. He glanced at me. He hopped off the pile of books and scurried to his home beneath the piano. Mozart came out from behind the piano again a few days later. I was slumbering on that soft rug in front of my glass door on a beautiful, warm, sunny day. I was awakened by Mozart squeaking. He was already on the piano bench. The beginning book was still open at the first page. I slid back the wooden cover to reveal the piano keys. Mozart began playing "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star" song again. He played not just the first line, but the entire song. Mozart then put his little hand on the page, trying to open it to the next song. I reached out to flip the page for him. He squeaked appreciatively and began playing "Home on the Range." When he came to a note that he did not know yet, he touched it with his nose. I would show him where it was on the piano. Then Mozart would continue with the tune. In this way, we went through the entire book. By the time we finished the book, I was becoming exhausted. My nap had been interrupted, and also it was hard work learning to be a music teacher. Not just any music teacher, either. I was learning to be a mouse piano teacher. Luckily for me, when we had finished the book, Mozart was done for the day. He glanced at me, then scrambled down the piano bench leg and disappeared behind the piano. The next time Mozart came out to play the piano, I didn't have to work very hard. He let me know with squeaks and gestures that he needed more piles of books to stand on so he could move the full length of the piano bench. I moved the cover off the piano keys. Then I was done. Mozart did not need any help from me. He began playing a slow, melancholy waltz. It was a melody I'd never heard. I had never heard anything quite like it. He discovered he could use both hands as well as his nose by standing on his hind legs. He played the waltz. Then he sat thinking for a moment. Then he played it again with small changes. Then he did it again, over and over. I sat and watched Mozart work and rework the melody for more than a half an hour. I was mesmerized. You may not know what mesmerized means. It means I was so amazed I could not do anything but just sit and watch and listen to Mozart. I didn't even move for more than an hour. His melody was beautiful. Not just because a mouse made it, but just because it was. Suddenly Mozart seemed to have finished making changes to his composition. He glanced at me, made a quiet squeak, and scurried to his place behind the piano. After Mozart had gone, I did not replace the piano key cover. I decided to leave the keys exposed. That way Mozart could play the piano any time he wanted with no help from me. After that, Mozart never interrupted my naps, but I would often hear him playing the piano. For instance, I may be doing the dishes in the kitchen or weeding the garden, and suddenly I would hear Mozart at the piano working on a new melody. Mozart was careful, however, to never play while Irene was in the house. That made me sad because I thought Irene would like his music very much. One day I had a brilliant idea. I decided to write Mozart's music on the kind of paper musicians use to keep other people play their melodies. The same as the paper that was used in the beginning book. I got some music paper. Then I stood and listened to Mozart. I watched what notes he played and wrote them down on the music paper. When Mozart had finished his tune, I played the music paper on the music stand. Mozart studied it for a moment, then began playing the notes as he read them. He seemed delighted to realize he was playing his own music. Mozart had surprised me time and time again with his amazing talent. I began to think that anything he could do would never surprise me again. Then one day Mozart surprised me yet once more. I lived in the small town. Sometimes I have to travel to the big city nearby. As I was walking out the front door one day from my trip to the city, Mozart suddenly appeared and scurried out the door just as I was closing it. He scampered to the car and stood on his hind legs at the passenger door. He looked at me and squeaked as we reached up towards the car door. He could barely reach the bottom of the car. As I approached the car, Mozart squeaked at me and reached for the door. I opened the car door to see what Mozart would do. He tried to jump into the car, but he couldn't. So I put out my hand and offered him a lift. He jumped into my hand. I sat him down on the passenger seat. Mozart sat on the seat, waiting for our journey to begin. Once again, Mozart had astonished me with his strange behavior. I had to chuckle, then I said, "Okay, if you want to ride along, let's go." Mozart slept on the ride to the city. My first stop in the big city was a haberdasher, the place where they sell hats. I had an old hat that needed to be cleaned and blocked. Cleaning and blocking is what they do at the haberdashery to make your hat look new again. As I stopped in front of the haberdashery, Mozart woke up and looked around sleepily. I asked him, "What now, my friend?" But Mozart had plans. As soon as I opened the door to get out, Mozart hopped from the passenger seat, hurried across the floor of the car, and leaped out of the open car door. Mozart ran to the sidewalk. He looked at me. Then he looked up and down the sidewalk at the people in the buildings. He looked back at me. I began to worry about Mozart's well-being. He looked so small and vulnerable, standing on the sidewalk. Just then, a person came down the sidewalk with a very large dog on a leash. Mozart saw the dog. He turned and scampered rapidly into a crevice between two buildings. I was relieved that Mozart had gotten away before the dog reached him, but then I began to wonder, when would I see Mozart again? I waited for him. Then I waited some more. And then some more. I waited for hours. But Mozart never came out from between the buildings. after I decided Mozart was not going to return, I drove home with a very heavy heart. Now, my young friends, you must be thinking that you should feel sad right now. But fear not. Mozart's story is not over. I missed hearing Mozart play the piano. I also thought I would never see him again, and that made me sad. I had left the music paper with his song sitting on the music holder of the piano. Sometimes I would notice it, and it would make my heart sad. One day I decided to go back to the city to see if I could run into Mozart somehow. I parked near the haberdashery. Do you remember what a haberdashery is? That's right. It's a place where they sell hats. After I parked, I walked around the block a few times, looking for gaps in the bricks or between buildings where a mouse might live. Then I walked round the next block. Then I walked round the next, and then the next. I ended up walking for hours and hours on the sidewalks of the city. Suddenly, I was very tired and worn out. I decided to sit for a while in a coffee shop and have a biscuit and some tea. As I sat sipping my tea, I picked up a copy of the Big City River Bugle. That's a newspaper that tells all about the music and theater events happening in the city. As I leafed through the paper, I got to page 5 and nearly fell out of my chair with surprise. Right there, in black and white, was a story about an upcoming concert by the Big City Philharmonic Orchestra. And can you believe it, my young friends? The guest musician was to be an amazing piano-playing mouse. Yes, yes, me too. I was so excited I could barely read the article about the concert with the amazing mouse. Luisa. Wait. That can't be right. His name is Mozart. Then I realized, of course, he wouldn't be able to tell anyone that his name was Mozart. Wait, though. That still can't be right. Mozart is a he. Or, so I had thought. As sure as the sun will rise tomorrow morning, the mouse in the newspaper story was Mozart. There was a picture of him in the news story. I recognized him immediately. He had managed to become friends with a young woman named Sandra, who had a piano in her house. Sandra also happened to be a flutist in the Big Philharmonic Orchestra. If you want to sound really prodigious, you could say flautist rather than flutist. Prodigious means being really smart for your age. But if you go around saying flautist, people might think you're just a smarty pants. So flutist it is. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. Sandra described how this amazing mouse had shown up at her house and began expressing an interest in her piano. The thing is, you see, my eyesight isn't so good. Sandra had noticed something I had not. Mozart was a girl mouse. Yes, a girl. Wasn't that silly of me? I never noticed. So now Mozart was Luisa, and Luisa was soon to perform her own compositions with the Big City Philharmonic Orchestra. Sandra had started putting Luisa's melodies on music paper, just like I had done. Sandra also had a friend in the orchestra who was an oboist. His name was Walter, and he was studying to become a composer. When Sandra showed Walter Luisa's music, he began writing all the parts for all the instruments in the orchestra. Luisa's haunting melodies had become full orchestral compositions. Sandra and Walter showed these to the orchestra director. He liked them, and the idea was born for Luisa to play her melodies on the piano while the orchestra played all along using the parts Walter had written. I finished the news story and my tea. Then I rushed to the box office of the music hall where the orchestra had their shows. I bought two tickets for the performance. I drove home smiling all the way. I was so happy to learn that Louisa was all right. And I could hardly think of anything else but the upcoming concert. I refused to tell Irene where we were going. I said it was a surprise. The night of the concert finally arrived. Irene and I drove to the city. Irene was so, so beautiful in her evening gown. I was dressed in my best blue suit and blue raincoat. I was even more excited than when I went to my first Leonard Connor Cohen concert as a young man. He's a poet and singer who's old like me now, and one of my favorite performers. But the idea of seeing Louisa play was even more compelling than Leonard Cohen. The concert was beautiful. Yes, I have to admit, a tear or two ran down my cheek as I listened. Louisa had matured musically, so her melodies were haunting, uplifting, and melancholic all at once. The compositions Walter had written complemented them perfectly. At the end of the concert, Louisa stood on the piano bench and bowed elegantly. At least as elegantly as a mouse can bow. Sandra presented her with a bouquet of baby's breath flowers. The audience roared their appreciation, and Louisa got a standing ovation. Then, just as the applause died down, and the house lights began coming on, Louisa looked directly at me and raised one tiny mouse paw and waved at me. After the show, Irene and I drove home in silence. I was silenced because I had just seen a truly amazing spectacle. I'm not sure what Irene was thinking, but she was very quiet. Then about halfway home, Irene turned to me and said,
"You might think I'm crazy, but I could swear that mouse waved at you."
"That was one amazing mouse," I said. And I just left it at that. Irene leaned over and kissed me on the cheek. She said,
"Thank you for the surprise. That was a very moving concert."
I never saw Louisa again. But every now and then I would read about the amazing musical mouse, Louisa, who was the greatest performer with some or other philharmonic orchestra somewhere in the world. You'll have to excuse me if I stop here, my young friends, but it's my nap time and the sun is shining happily through the glass door next to my big, soft rug.